Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to Appalachian Intelligence. We hope you guys enjoyed the last episode with Maverick Matthews and Nick Hinton. I had a great time. I'm sure you guys did, too. They're a wealth of knowledge in almost anything you want to talk to those guys about. We just had a really good time. It was a good conversation. It was great sitting down and chatting with those guys. First off, we want to apologize. This episode will be dropping about a day later than usual, than our usual Friday night at midnight. Well, technically Saturday at midnight. We've had some crazy, crazy hectic schedules going on this week with ball games and prom and birthdays. And it's been a little nuts. So, trying to maintain a full-time job and do this thing and maintain the regular life as well. It gets a little hectic sometimes, but we're always going to deliver eventually. We're not going to keep you guys waiting long. So this may drop a day later, and we do apologize for that one. While we're on the topic of the show, be sure to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube at Appalachian Intelligence. Make sure that you give us a follow on all of our socials. Those will be in the show notes. The support the show link is also in the show notes. If you feel led to donate to help us out with the performance of this show for quality and every dime that is donated, we put back into the show. So just to let you guys know that part of it. Anything I'm missing, guys? Oh, if you have a story that you would like to share or you would like to come on the show at any point, contact us at appalachianintelligence@gmail.com. I think that's it. I think that's hitting all the major points there. So let's jump right in it, guys. Let's jump right in. Today, we have a topic. You know, I was sitting around just thinking the other day and just glancing over some things, and I came across a people's or a myth, legend, we'll say. I think once you start digging into it, there's a lot of factual evidence there. But a people called the Moon-Eyed People. And I know that I got a little excited over it when I started doing some reading, and I let you guys know right off the bat, hey, let's look at this. Everybody jump on and do a little time digging into this thing. So, in talking about that, talking about these moon-eyed people, also, sorry, before we jump into that, he just had to leave for a minute so you won't get the congratulatory from response from him. But we do want to introduce Lance Compton as our full-time producer of the show. So you guys give him a little round of applause here.
Yay! Hey, golf clap.
Yeah. He will be joining the show full-time whenever we're recording. He'll be jumping on whenever it's convenient for him, but he is helping out with all the research, all the topics, everything that we're looking into. Lance is right there on board and you know, pulling a major portion of the weight in that. So we thank him for being willing to do that. And again, he's a wealth of knowledge as well. You know, this whole thing.
It couldn't have been a more perfect time to talk nice about him than when he had to leave, because this would be, God, we'd give him such a big hit if he heard all of this.
Yeah, and as soon as he gets back, we're going to dry it up completely. Stop
dry it
so,
up right
so,
now.
So, he, so he's back. So he's back, and let's stop it.
Just
now.
Be cool. Be cool. Just
totally cool.
But it's always good to make Lance smile. I like seeing Lance smile. That's
he does have a great smile.
He does. I used to until I chipped that tooth. And now I feel like I'm from the Appalachian Mountains now. Oh.
Well, you still don't sound like you're from the Appalachian Mountains. You still sound like a Yankee because you're saying that.
I've always had perfect teeth. That bothers me.
Just get a grill, dog. Get a grill.
No thanks.
Yes.
I could never be an island boy. I'm sorry.
It's true.
Island cool boy.
Enough. Well, I'm bald for one, so... I can't get the dreads.
Yeah.
But all right, Justin. So we're talking about moon-eyed people today. Am I being too loud? My gummies are starting to kick in, and they're glorious, by the way. I took a whole 500-milligram pack and downed all three of them. So we're talking 1,500 milligrams. We're going to see what it does to me later. But...
Ryan.
Lance, why are you looking? Don't look at me like that, Lance. That's
hey, I was just soaking all that in.
As much, no, much, I'm much soaking your, it in right now as we speak.
I was just soaking all that in.
Ryan, I think you need a break. I think you need to take a break.
You're the second person that said that.
No, let's dive in here, guys. Let's dive into moon-eyed people. What do you guys know about some moon-eyed people? Who wants to open us up? Who wants to start?
Lance, you got anything?
Sure. Yeah, actually, I do.
You're pulling it up, Lance. You got anything from the hip? Quick, go.
So I'm not from the hip, but I have some stuff that I wrote down.
Yeah.
Is that good enough?
Yeah.
You guys know me. I like to have stuff in front of me.
And that's why you're here.
Let's see. I've actually got about 20 pages worth of stuff, but I won't read all of it. Across southern Appalachian Mountains, from Georgia up to North Carolina, unusual stone structures have been discovered, and we've talked about that a couple of times on this show. And some of them date back thousands of years. Archaeologists aren't really sure exactly who created them, but it brings us to the Cherokee people, Cherokee Wild, that claim they know exactly who built them and say that they were built by these moon-eyed people. Now, moon-eyed people, if you want to describe them as the Cherokee described them, race of fair skin, light-haired, bearded humans have large blue eyes that were so incredibly sensitive to the sun that they lived in caves and only came out at night, which, of course, why they got the name moon-eyed, right? Story gets a little stranger, though. Cherokees say that the Muni people lived in the same area as the Cherokee Nation, but they were not Native Americans. So if that's true... who they were and how they got there is still a bit of a question. Now, as far as the, I guess, history books tell us that Christopher Columbus is commonly connected to the discovery of the New World, but there's plenty of debate exactly who was the very first people here. The Norse explorer Leif Erikson is thought to have discovered Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, Canada, around 1000 AD. There's, of course, remains of Norse settlements found in Newfoundland not that long ago and were dated, carbon dated, to prove someone was there at precisely the time that they think that he was there. There's also the legend of St. Brendan, who's an Irish monk who left Ireland in the 6th century to search the new lands, but for 7 years, he returned to Ireland and claimed that he discovered a land covered in lush vegetation with people. And people believe that he was describing the east coast of Canada. Now, none of those ancient settlements were permanent. Every legend ends with explorers eventually encountering dangerous native people who drove them off the land and back to the sea. But what if permanent settlers were established hundreds of years before Columbus? And we're here. That brings us back to another legend. I'm getting there. Give me a second. Explorer Prince Madoc of Wales. The illegitimate son.
I knew where you were going.
Yeah, the illegitimate son of Welsh King Owen Gwynedd, who ruled Wales in the 12th century. When his king died in 1169, sons fought over the throne. Civil war broke out, and Madoc did not want to be part of it. So he sailed a few ships, landed in what we know as Mobile, Alabama today. So excited by what he saw, returned to Wales for more ships. Colonists sent it back out towards Alabama in 1171. Never heard of again, right? But that story of Prince Madoc doesn't end there. About 500 years later, 1666, a Welsh minister named Morgan Jones set out into the American wilderness to preach the good word to the locals. Of course, they were not receptive at all to his group. They imprisoned him by people called the Dog in present-day South Carolina. About to be executed, Jones pleads for his life, and the chief approached. When the chief approached, he was a small, light-skinned man dressed in typical Native American clothing or attire. Jones dropped to his knees and said, "I have escaped so many dangers that I now must be murdered like a dog." The dog chief stared at him, it said, with ice blue eyes, and told him that today you will not die, and set him free. But Jones couldn't believe his ears, because the chief was not speaking to him in any foreign language. He was actually speaking to him in Welsh. So he knew that language and was able to communicate that with him. His story is not unique, though. There's another sailor named Stedman, shipwrecked in Alabama, Florida, somewhere around the 1660s. He writes an account of encountering light-skinned Native American tribe that spoke Welsh. And those stories circulated throughout the Americas for years. 19th century Governor Robert Dinwiddle of Virginia financed a large, expensive expedition to find these Welsh Indians. Lewis and Clark set off to map the Louisiana Purchase. They were specifically ordered by Thomas Jefferson himself to keep an eye out for the Welsh tribes of the known pale-skinned, short-statured people with blonde hair, blue eyes, and warm beards. Moon-eyed people, direct descendants of the Madoc colonists, or they could be tribes who built those stone structures many, many moons ago. Stonewall in Georgia is over 1,000 feet long, varies in height from 3 to 10 feet. There's structures like this, a bunch of those, and a ton of debate on who built those ruins, what their purpose was. Archaeologists think some of them were used for social events, seasonal meetings, religious ceremonies, observatories. There's some legends that disagree. They point out a tear-shaped foundation similar to the ruins found throughout Great Britain, specifically kind of look like doll windows in the castles of northern Wales. But the ruins in Wales weren't religious structures at all. They're actually military fortifications, and that actually matches up the legend of the Cherokees. Almost 1,000 years ago, Moon-Eyed people were actually at war with the Cherokee, and there was another local nation of Moon-Eyed people that built forts and walls to protect themselves using the very similar technology. Unknown to the local tribes, historical evidence was eventually written in 1810 by John Sevier, who was the first governor of Tennessee. And he says that in 1782, he was told by an Indian chief that the walls were not built by American Indians. They were built by white people called the Welsh, who lived 100 years ago. And in 1799, the same governor wrote that there was a mentioned discovery of 6 skeletons in the Ohio River wearing armor bearing the Welsh coat of arms. So at some point, the Welsh were driven out the land by the Cherokee, traveled to the Ohio Valley, down to the Mississippi. And there's actually a ton of evidence. There's a huge battle that took place there around 1450, which would have been 50 years before Columbus even got to the Americas. Local tribes said this great battle was between Red Indians and White Indians. And according to the legend, the White Indians lost the war. They began to integrate, intermarry. There's a tribe called the Mandans, very different than other tribes in the area. The Mandans were fair-skinned, light hair with light eyes. built their settlements laid out on a grid like the European cities do, did at the time, but they didn't use canoes like most tribes. They actually built these round bull boats, which were identical to the boats that were used by the Welsh and the Irish. The Mandan language to European ears sounds very similar to Welsh, and there are a lot of words in the Mandan language that are very, very close to the medieval Welsh language as well. So potentially this, maybe
could this be, is exactly what we were talking about while Lance was gone earlier, folks. This is why we brought Lance's ass on, because the show's over. We're done. That's everything. I've watched documentaries and read online. He just covered it all. I knew everything he was going to say, the round boats, the all that. The minister going out into the wilderness and the chief speaking to him in Welsh. I read every one of the, he did everything. He just did the whole entire show. That's why we hired Lance. And he makes the same amount as us.
Now, I've got a couple other things too that go along with this. Some of the Cherokees and other native people, of course, arrived in America at the time of the last ice age, which I'm going to jump down a tangent here. Last ice age in common scientific terms says 10,000 years ago. Personally, I don't believe it was that long ago. I do believe there was an ice age. That's a whole other conversation for another time. But it's very possible that many years before the Cherokees say that when they came to America thousands of years ago, that the Moonine people were probably already there. So there's that kind of interesting tidbit as well. Hmm. In 2015, there was an artifact. You can actually Google this and find it. It's a statue that had been under local private, I guess in a private view room or whatever. 2015 there in somewhere in North Carolina at the base.
Murphy.
Yes, there's an artifact that looks very similar to what we have described that was sold to a local museum there that you can go see. It's on display there. It's very unusual. Two humanoid creatures, 3 feet tall, carved out of soapstone, I think, discovered in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. So there's that more evidence for them being here for quite some time as well. Now, some people think they're aliens, right? I've read that the Moonite people, because of the shape of their eyes, that could very well be
the shape of their heads and everything. They were seeing. And that artifact, by the way, shout out to that museum. That is the Cherokee Historical Museum in Murphy, North Carolina. See, I did my homework, teacher.
It's kind of what I got kind of on the basis of where they kind of how they got here. A couple of different ideas. There's other stories that go along with that as well. But that's kind of that's a really good, I guess, quick intro of what the Moonite people are.
Now let's hear Justin's portal theory.
No portal theories this time. No portal theories. No, Ryan's right. Lance just covered every bit of that in just a matter of minutes. You know,
joining us on this episode, folks.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, folks. We'll see you guys next time.
Good night, America.
No, I think that it is cool. You know, of course, I'm going to look at the weirder side of things. You know, obviously, that's my job here. But I do love, I love just the historical aspect of all of this, because, you know, I used to love watching Scott Walter's show on the History Channel. I can't even remember what it was. It slipped my mind what the name of the show was, but it was always talking about how the history of the Americas is just dead wrong. You know, it's completely wrong. And Ryan, you and I talked the other day, just in private, you know, about why Columbus gets the credit for discovering America. You know, Spain was a world power at the time. He was flying under the Spanish flag. The Spanish Inquisition was going on. He was a Freemason. I mean, you know, a lot of these things that tied up to what wanted to be pushed. But just like on Scott Walter's show, you know, he's shown that all across the Americas, Viking runes have been found and discovered. You know, like these copper mines in the Great Lakes were being done, you know, well before Columbus's time. I mean, you know, there's a ton of evidence out there that there were European settlers in the Americas long before Columbus ever showed up. And, you know, then you just think, well, maybe the natives did all this stuff, but there's a lot that goes against that too. And even in a lot of the native tradition, just like Lance was talking about with these Cherokee traditions, you know, they're constantly at war and in battle, and there's only a handful of these elders and tribal leaders that know these stories. It's almost like, you know, we were talking about with granny witches and Appalachian folk magic, that they just pick out a couple people within the family to pass down these gifts and these certain ways to do things too. Well, it's kind of the same way from what I understand in the native communities and traditions as well. You know, they would pass down knowledge and these myths and legends and all of these different things to the future tribal leaders. And that's what, when early, you know, actual, if you would think, you know, as the more, what advanced into more modern times today, you know, the late 1600s throughout the 1700s, early 1800s, when European settlers were really coming in, you know, in full effect into the Americas, that's what they were finding. They were hearing these stories of these moon-eyed people. Well, the way that the natives would explain them a lot of the times, it does make them sound like some form of, and honestly, when I first started looking into this, I was like, nah, there's really no credence to any of this, because the way I took it and the way I understood it at first was like they were describing them as mole people. You know, somebody that these people that just lived underground in like a hollow earth, that were totally nocturnal, that wouldn't come out in the daylight and all of these things. But the more that I started reading, you know, these natives are seeing a people that they don't understand, that they've never seen before, where they're coming across these people that are totally different to them. Now, if you think like, okay, I'm straight ginger, fair skin. I mean, I have a really, really, really hard time when summer rolls along. I ain't doing no mowing and weed eating with my shirt off. Okay. It ain't happening.
Instant melanoma.
Yeah. So if, you know, where my roots go back to, the Scots, Irish, Welsh, this area, if they are fair hair, ice blue eyes, pale skin, they're probably not spending a whole lot of time outside in the blazing sun, especially before they had some SPF 50 going around that they could share. So I'm sure they did spend a whole lot of time. You know, if these people were, you know, of Welsh origin, I'm sure they did spend a lot of time, you know, undercover or, you know, in whatever shelter that they could find. And to these natives, it may have seemed like that was underground. But it's really cool how they were described by these natives, I think, as being, you know, really, really small people. You know, we've talked about the Cherokee little people on this show before.
Yeah.
So for them to be able to, you know, if they know and they have this knowledge of certain sects of their peoples are smaller people, but they still describe these people as being extremely small. You know, 3 or 4 feet, that's small. I mean, that's abnormal. Okay. And then they describe their eyes being way too big for their face, you know, all of these different things. You know, I don't know. Like, to me, there's two different routes you could go down. There was some kind of, I don't even know what you call it. There is like a supernatural side of this, that if you want to look at it, maybe these things were something different. Or you can just look at it down the route of, well, these natives were just trying to describe something that they weren't familiar with. So because they were super pale, because they had red or blonde hair, because they had these ice blue eyes that were almost white, because they are genetically usually larger than that of native peoples, maybe they describe them in this way because they were so drastically different than them. But that's the side of it that I thought was really interesting. That was interesting to me.
Yeah, that that didn't take you long, did it, to go supernatural? That was quick.
Well, but, I mean, when you first start looking at it and the way they're described.
Maybe that's what the movie Willow was based off of.
Maybe.
Maybe it was a clan of little people from Wales.
It's possible.
Yeah. But well, I mean, I think to me, the most interesting thing, and one of the things I was going to say earlier, when you're talking about all these different peoples and the copper mines near the Great Lakes being mined before Columbus, the only reason we know of any animals, peoples of any point in history is because they left information behind. So were there a clan of peoples that didn't, how many were there? How many clans of peoples were there that didn't leave anything wrong or it hasn't been discovered yet? And we have, you know, we have no idea who was out there. So this, but them to be here before the natives, that's the most interesting thing to me, because that's a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if technically they weren't, if they were just in the area of, say, southeastern U.S., you know, because I think that from what I've read and looked into it, they kind of, scholars.
You still there, Lance?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Justin's frozen like that, and I'm not taking it out when I post it on YouTube. Look at that face. Look at that face. That's a face for radio right there, folks.
That's awesome.
You'll forget what point he was trying to say right there, too. But going on with the subject, to me, and you're allowed to believe whatever you want, as am I. I do believe the Ice Age was 10,000 years ago.
Sure.
But, I mean, just from carbon dating, everything like that. But, yeah, man, just think about that. If it was 10,000 years ago, you're the host now.
Okay.
I don't know. What's I don't know, on? But I don't know.
I lost him.
But if it was 10,000 years ago, and these guys were supposedly here before then, that's pretty big.
When I was going through and researching this, it was kind of the crazy thing to think about. Like, I was fully aware that obviously Columbus didn't technically find the Americas. There was plenty of people here. That's pretty common knowledge. But that there were people, like when the Cherokee managed to show up and get here across the land bridge and get down into the Americas and start to settle things as they were, that there are already not just people, but like established civilizations had buildings and were, you know, had technology that they were using to build structures, and that they were farming and doing all the things that they were doing. Kind of crazy that there is that kind of stuff going on well before any type of recorded, I guess, human history. Hello, Justin. Glad you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Good to have you back, buddy.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking about Columbus landing, it kind of, it makes me laugh. Eddie Izzard, do you know who that comedian is? He's a male dude. He's straight. He just likes to do all of his comedy dressed in drag. And he is freaking hilarious. And he was doing a bit once about the landing, the Columbus discovering America, you know, and I claim this land in the name of Spain. By the way, who the hell are they? You know, but that stuff. Oh man, I lost train of thought. I had to readjust my chair. I was caught on the rug with my chair. Sorry, but Justin, your face was frozen in a position. I'm not taking it off the video. It's going to be on YouTube, so everybody can enjoy. That's fine. Made the comment. It was a face for radio. That was.
That's totally fine. I don't know what happened again. Oh. I think every time we start getting close to truth on this show, the Illuminati just comes on and kicks me off.
That's exactly what it is.
That's what I think.
Hey, Justin, remember who was kid? Wait, I got who was kidnapped.
Yeah.
We had about 3 days, folks. We couldn't get in touch with producer Lance, so we just assumed he was kidnapped. So I started sending him messages. If you don't contact me by lunch, Lance, I'm calling the cops. And then about an hour later, I said, I can't wait that long. I'm calling them.
Yeah, it was a really dire situation, folks. We deep, handled
too many,
it.
Too many deep dives on YouTube. They were shutting me down.
What's he want to know about the Moon Eye people, damn it? Oh, I told Justin this, but our property that's been in my family for a very long time in Grayson County, Virginia, on the other side of Sugar Grove and Marion and all that, it's minutes from the North Carolina border, not hours. It's minutes, like very few minutes. But there's a tree stand behind on our property that we've always called the Rock Wall. And it's just a rock wall that's been there. I've asked everybody in my family for as long as they can remember. Hmm. And it's just this unnatural, it's man-made. And it's just this rock wall that kind of goes up this way, and then it goes around the ridgeline this way. We need to go over there one time, and you guys check out that property, and then I can take you straight to that rock wall. And
it's Moon Eye people civilization.
Yeah. Plus, I can get the old metal detector out and look like one of those creepy dudes at the beach.
They're not creepy, man. They're just pirates.
I've seen some dudes down there, and you know they're creeping on women because the damn thing wasn't even plugged in. The cord was dangling, like, with his headphones on. Like, he's, like, going back and checking certain spots around ladies laying on the beach. I'm like, you should plug that in and make it more real. But
next time, just walk up to him and take that cord and plug it in and pat him on the back and just walk
off. What I should have done was gone around and just tried to put it in his butthole. He was wearing Speedos. Just like, here you go. I think this fell out.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should do. Oh, man, that's good.
He wouldn't see it coming, I guarantee you.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
But no, I think this whole Moon-Eyed People thing is really interesting. And I think that, you know, I don't know exactly what you guys dove into when I got kicked off here again for like the 15th episode in a row. I'm getting sick of this.
We were just making conversation.
But I think that it's really cool to see, like, to look at the migration that scholars look at. And I don't know if you guys talked about this or not, but the point of origin, the way they kind of look at it, of course, you know, they landed, like Lance said, if we're going along this Welsh route, they landed around the port or the harbor of Mobile, Alabama. And kind of the point of origin is Fort Mountain, Georgia. There's an extremely huge, did you guys talk about this?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a huge stone structure there that actually does look like a fortification. And they think that's kind of where, you know, when the Cherokee first started coming into the area, that's where these Moon-Eyed people or Welsh Indians, you know, whatever you want to call them, that's where they kind of set up their home base to say, okay, we're going to make a stand here. And then obviously they lost and they kept getting driven farther north and farther north, probably up into around the region that we are, you know, that we live in today. Just like Ryan said, you know, in Grayson County, right? Grayson County?
Yes.
In that area, you know, having this big stone wall that's man-made. And you can tell, and I've seen those things, you know, that, you know, and you can always sit back and think, okay, well, maybe there was, you know, some kind of homestead here at some time, you know, maybe some people, you know, put this up to, you know, for whatever reason, to move water, whatever. But I think that it is crazy when those show up in places that just aren't, they're deep, deep, deep in the woods. You know, there's not really anything or any old logging roads or anything remotely close that would look like, you know, there was a settlement there of any kind.
Well, so, not just for, like, you know, water to run one way or the other, but if we do go off the carbon dated timeline of the Ice Age being 10,000 years ago, and that's when the Cherokee came into this area, and they're saying these people were here before us, who's to say what's below the surface of the ground where you find these rock walls? There could be village. There could be settlements there. That's why I want one of those stinking LIDAR things. That would be perfect over there in his cabin. If there was anything there, I mean, that would be it. Because one, thinking about this, we got these water boxes where natural springs run. So our cabin is actually fed by natural spring. So there's a water source. The location of it is, there's these ridge lines that go up and they V down. Okay, well, you just come out of that V, so you got the ridge line going to your left, you got the ridge line going to your right. It's on the south side, so it gets the most sunlight. No, I'm dead wrong there. It's on the north side, it gets the least amount of sunlight because the snow stays there all the time, even up on that top ridge. But then you have that rock wall structure coming around between that V section of those two ridge lines. I can't think of a better place. You got a water source, you have plenty of game animals, food sources, and the land there to cultivate. It's perfect spot.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking. If they were here before then, we should be searching these rock walls like underground there. We could discover cities, I believe.
Well, I mean, in you know, comparable to
Josh
what,
Gates if we do.
Comparable to what they would have had as cities. You know, it wouldn't have been really, you know.
A settlement would have been a bad word. That's.
Well, I mean, anything of any importance that you can trace back to a European, an early European people coming over, you know, would be huge. It wouldn't even have to be, you know, like settlement foundations, just, you know, anything, any kinds of art, you know, anything at all, you know, tools. I mean, that's always huge.
Yeah, she feels this. Why do you think that? I mean, there is just a multitude of evidence that there were European settlers here before Columbus showed up. I mean, you think, I know, one of my favorite guilty pleasure TV shows to watch is The Curse of Oak Island, right? And the Wiener brothers have been putting the bait on the hook now for 15 years, and I'm still snapping at it, but they've not really technically found gold or a ton of gold or anything, but they have found a multitude of evidence of the Templars or Spanish or whatever it was that was here well before Columbus showed up, you know, before the 1500s. Why do you think that we still, I guess, school-wise, general populace still kind of considers Columbus the guy that discovered the Americas? Well, what do you think that is? What's the reason behind that?
Just like we were talking earlier, you know, the Queen of Spain basically funded this whole thing. And at the time, the Spanish were the Romans of their time, you know. They're on the Spanish Inquisition, which I've always said, if I had a time machine, the first thing I would do is go back and stop the Spanish Inquisition in South America from destroying the Aztecs and the Mayans. You know how far we'd be along as a culture, as peoples, with technology and everything, had that not happened?
That's true.
Darn, well, Spaniards. And if you Spaniards are listening, I don't feel guilty about what I said. That's not one bit. You did some shitty things. That's terrible. But
I don't think they did it.
Oh, the Spaniards did it. It's your history, Spain. You can't be making fun of the Germans if you're going to be freaking covering up your shit. Listen, we make fun of everybody because we're a part of it. Americans are shitty. Americans are shitty. Okay? We suck. If we, you know what? People probably hate us less if we just said we're top 10 at best. Instead of some saying USA's number one all the time, we're top 10 at best.
Yeah, at best. At best. Now, I think, you know, like we talked earlier, there was just a microscope on Columbus and Spain and all this stuff. It fit the narrative of that time. But also, you got to look at it this way, too. And here's where I'm going to get one of the few times I'm going to get more logical. Because there's a ton of conspiracies out there, of course, as to why Columbus gets all the credit. But Columbus gets a lot of the credit because for a really, really, really long time, he was really the only name in the game. Yeah. We didn't know that all of these other, you know, the Vikings and all these other, you know, people from, they didn't fly under this big royal flag. They weren't sponsored and all of these things, you know, given all this huge crew and these ships and all these supplies and sent for a specific purpose. A lot of them were just wandering around because that's what they did. They set sail and searched for different areas, different places for resources, for, you know, all these different things. We talk about the guy from Wales that left. Well, he left because there was disruption and conflict going on where he was, and he was tired of it. So he was wealthy and said, you know what, screw this. I'm going to find something else.
You know what? He was the illegitimate son, too. So he's probably like, I don't even have a shot at this. There's no use in sticking around and getting stabbed with a sword.
He was a bastard. He was a bastard son. He was the Jon Snow. He took off on his own adventure. I mean,
exactly.
So,
and then he got to have sex with a pretty blonde who had dragons and then had to kill her, though, because she was crazy. If you've never seen God, I just spoiled the whole show for you.
I can't wait.
Maybe
for that.
We should have said spoiler, 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 maybe right before that came out. Everybody know what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, it's too late now. But hey, on the other thing, what we're talking about also, you don't hear about the Vikings and Leif Erikson much, or the Welsh coming over at some point, apparently, or. See, there's a jet stream. I guess it's not a jet stream. What's that called? Gulf stream in off the tip of Africa, right? So if you were to come off that wave and follow that Gulf stream, it brings you up the coast of Africa, and then it sends you to the western lands.
Rogers.
They were talking about the Vikings making that loop. When they were trying to come down and they discovered they could make that loop and then ended up somewhere else. And they think it was around what, the Jamaican Islands or something like that. Or that was Columbus probably landed there. Mm-hmm. But another big thing was the dominant power of the world was the Catholic Church. And the only people, the only history we have available to us are the winners of wars. They write the history books.
Right. I was going to say, whoever wins gets to write. It's,
exactly.
It's the, yeah.
It's so we only know one side of the story.
Yeah. It's his story. It's history. His story. It's based on whoever comes out on top gets to write the rule book and gets to write.
Or it's her story and it's her story. So we want to be politically correct.
Yeah, we have definitely.
And the sure Queen of Spain.
Politically correct all the time.
And I didn't say anything bad. I just said Spaniards. You know what you did. You could take that and you can get over it or die with it. I don't care. You did it. But can't go into all that because if I talk about America's mistakes, we're going to get canceled. But I just think the Catholic Church, you know, they wrote the history books when it came to that point of history, you know, and then that crap never changed till what, Martin Luther days. So,
well,
and we only know about him because the Protestants survived.
I mean, still. The Vatican is sitting on the largest underground library. And
I do believe that they have some really historical gold sitting in there in that library that they haven't released. I want to say there are probably some really important things in there that kind of conflict with their beliefs and feel like it would push people away from the church rather than into it, which for me, guys, listen, I believe in God. You guys know that, right? I make my jokes, but
I believe in God. I do pray. But, however, I also know that there's nothing wrong with the pursuit of knowledge. There's nothing wrong with being interested in another subject. So I like learning about things. It doesn't sway my faith one way or the other. You know, I still believe in God. I still believe in Jesus Christ. I still pray, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're talking about...
Time is a man-made thing.
When you're talking Christianity, you're talking, if you take the teachings of Christ, you're talking about a relationship. It's an individual thing. When you're talking here, when you're talking the Vatican, when you're talking the Catholic Church, when you're talking, you know, all of these things, this is a group that ran the world for a really, really long time. And some people believe they still kind of do. There's a reason that NASA and all these people go straight to the Catholic Church and start getting advice before they release something, or, you know, all these different things. You're talking two different things there. You're talking having faith in Christ on an individual basis as a Christian, and you're talking an organization like the Vatican and the Catholic Church that, you know, has a really, really, really dark history. You know, I've told you before, whenever you say, that's why I make Catholics pray for me, quit doing that. Just stop it. Just stop.
Hey, now, hold your tongue, good sir. I know some really good Catholics, and if they ain't going to heaven, then I'm not going. That's for sure.
I didn't say there weren't good Catholics. That's not what I said. I'm still talking about on an individual basis. You can't take.
It's no damn wonder we went from number 10 in Ireland to nothing. You know, they're mostly Catholics, and you keep shitting on that religion.
Nah, we're still like the top 200 there. Still, yeah. It's all right. But now getting off that little tangent. You know, I was just thinking when you were talking about the early European settlers coming in and why they didn't get credit or anybody get credit. And I think just to shorten that down, Columbus was
on, Justin. Just let me. I've got to interject this.
Okay,
there is a stark difference between universal Catholicism and Christianity, right? There's the belief systems, the legalistic things that govern both. There is a great deal of difference. Now, for the longest time, right, from the 900, 1100s, whatever, up till the Reformation era, when Martin Luther hammered the 80 points on the wall, Catholicism and Christianity are the exact same thing, right? That was kind of universally, that's what it was. That's what we saw it as. That's what Blake was taught. But there is a huge, huge amount of differences between just looking at it from a religious base, right? Just looking at history of the religion, what the religion stands for, why people believe either Christianity or there is a great deal of differences between those two belief systems. Now, there are some things that are the same. And they're premised the same, but they are two completely different things. So when we begin to, and Ryan, you specifically, when you begin to loop in all Christianity with the different divisions of the belief systems within Christianity as a whole, there is a huge amount of difference between those two things. And I think that from just a worldview looking at how history has been shaped, right? The Catholic Church has shaped the majority of it, right?
Yeah.
But the actual day-to-day normal average Joe that is either a Catholic or a Christian or whatever, there is a huge amount of differences in how they perceive the world and what they believe and how they conduct themselves. And I think that's a problem, right? That's a big deal because me as a Christian, like Catholic friends, I love my Catholic friends, but like we don't see eye to eye on a ton of different things because we believe in different things. We have different ideas and have different faith-based practices that we have. And I think that's for a non-Christian, non-Catholic, any other religion, Buddhist, Islam, Hinduism, whatever, when you look at Christianity and group that with the Catholic Church, it really stains and taints the idea of what followers of Christ did, I think. And that and that's where you keep saying now, all the bad that we've done, yes, there's been tons of it in history, but when we say Christians have done this, the white man showed up and forced this religion on people, that yes, that happened, right? But that wasn't, it's totally different than being a follower of Jesus Christ. Sorry, I had to get that off the chest.
No, yeah.
Shout out to Dave Chappelle. But now my point to that would be, you can agree with me that an old regular Baptist church service compared to a Pentecostal holiness church service compared to a Methodist church service, all based on the same premise, completely different practices, but they're all Christian.
But they aren't Catholic.
And the Methodist is based off Catholicism.
Right, but...
But those
three things...
That's what I'm saying. You have different practices, just like you do from the Catholic Church, but... You see what I'm saying?
I think so, yeah. But you take those three different denominations of a Christian faith, you've got a couple of different Catholic denominations. You've got the Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox. Had those are the two major ones. 95% of all Catholics fall into one of those two categories, as opposed to Christianity, when you've got a laundry list of different denominations that have different ideas. And you think just in our local area, how many different Christian churches that have different beliefs? Yeah, they believe Jesus, and they believe God, and believe the Bible, all these different things, right? But it's different completely from what the Catholic Church does. You don't have as many. That's why I think there needs to be a division when we're talking about those two things, because they are starkly different.
Yeah, and I agree. And that's kind of what I was saying with just lumping everything in together all in one.
It's easy to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's just like if you're talking about, you know, it doesn't matter what group you're talking about, what religion, what any background or whatever, there's going to be terrible history because the history of mankind is terrible.
Absolutely.
And when you have these organizations, these groups, and these different people that all they want to do is conquer and force conversion and do all these different things, yeah, it's going to tarnish a name and it's going to give a bad example. But when you look at Scripture, that's kind of what I was saying. When you look at Scripture and you consider yourself a follower of Christ, that's just like saying that, you know, Germans today were responsible for the Holocaust, or that, you know, white people in America today are responsible for slavery. It's not true. I mean, yeah, there's a tarnished past, and yeah, there's a great division of beliefs and ideology and all of these different things. But that's why when we're talking about that, you've got to look at individualism as a whole, because at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. It's, you know, it's on an individual basis. That's so, yeah.
I don't know if you guys can see that, but these comments are really kicking.
Back to our point. So like, Moon Eye people could have been aliens too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, guys, I didn't mean to lump you in with those hideous Catholics, okay?
I'm not saying that Catholics are hideous.
I know. You don't have to say it again. You don't have to say it again.
Yeah, quit trying to make Catholics hate me, okay?
And expect the Moonlight people to get us into religious discussion, but I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah. But no.
Well, it comes with that culture. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, it does. But what I was thinking earlier, whenever we were talking about these people coming in, it took me back to our interview with Adam Stokes when he was talking about giants coming into North America and how they may have gotten here, and how that, I see Lance already digging, and how, you know, that, where was I going with that?
How
Semites, you know, ancient Semite stuff has been found around a lot of these plaques and these ruins and the mounds and all these different things that were here then at that time, and how, you know, they were here and had civilization in North America well before, you know, anybody else. So if you look at all of these different things, and even some of the guests that we've had on this show, and you take into account the things that they're talking about and the evidence behind it, I mean, there could have been, if you're talking a people coming from ancient Egypt, the Mesopotamian area, and leaving there and making their way into North America, you know, what timeline is that? You're talking, shoot, what, 3,000 years ago?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, we give these certain people credit, or we do these different things. But if you look back at some of the evidence that is there around these mounds, around these certain places that have been found, you know, the Viking runes, all the Welsh armor on these bodies that were found, there's evidence there that Columbus was nowhere near the first white man from Europe to come and settle.
No, I've in my adult life, I've never believed that. Once I got in all these History Channel shows and all this, and all this evidence, even from high school, we were taught about Leif Erikson, you know?
Yeah.
But
SpongeBob, there's a Leif Erikson day. I mean,
oh yeah. Forgot about Durga, that. Durga. Great. We just lost Norway.
But Lance, what are you digging up there?
To our moon-eyed people, you mentioned that about the gentleman you had on talking about the North American giants, and it just triggered something I remember writing down or typing out earlier in the week. While looking up for moon-eyed people stuff, one of the things that pops up all the time is their albinism, right? And the fact that they are, you know, light, considered light-skinned or white-skinned or whatever. And I did some research on albinism. Genetic condition occurs in all species of animals, plants as well. There's a gene that's altered, it's damaged melanin, it can't be produced. We all know what albinos are, right? White hair, we've seen white deer, white feathers, or whatever the case may be. Human albinism occurs in every about 20,000 births or so. But in a tribe in Panama, an Indian tribe, or Native American Indian tribe in Panama, has the highest rate of albinism in the world. About 145 Kuna are born are albinos. That's one out of every 145. So that's over 130 times the typical rate. Now, in this Kuna mythology, which if you look at the Kuna, you can trace some of the Kuna origins back to the Native Americans that are in and around Alabama area that we've been talking. You can find people that have traced them back there, right? So that could have been a tie to where when the Moon Eye people kind of got kicked out of their area, they went somewhat south, and kind of how they got in that area of central southern Americas. But the albinos were given special significance in the Kuna mythology because of their light skin and their eyes, right? Makes them very sensitive to light. So people were given the duty. Albino individuals in the Kuna mythology were given the duty of defending the moon against those who would destroy it. They actually became known as the children of the moon. Albino children are born at a high rate in other Native American tribes as well. I'm going to butcher some of these names. I'm going to give it a try. The Hopizuma, Gumez, San Juan, and Laguna tribes all see albinism occurring over 100 times the rate the rest of the world. These Native American albinos were the descendants of the moon-eyed people, which is why their traits keep showing up more frequently. Native populations and Cherokee said the Moon Eye people were eventually driven out. It's interesting because you've got the Pueblo people, I think, who live in Utah, parts of California. They talked about a city of people, the Ka and the Sitka, which were a tribe of red-haired giants with white skin, who lived in caves because they feared the sun and only came out at night. Now, the Paiute were at war with these red-haired giants for many years, and eventually they were able to trap the white-skinned giants in their caves, set a huge fire, and killed them. Now, that story has been passed down for hundreds of years and was considered to be a fairy tale or just a Native American legend. But in 1911, there was a cave that was discovered by local miners in that area, and over the next 10 years, they excavated inside and found skeletons that were more than 6 feet 9 inches tall, and they had red hair as well.
We just read that the other day. I was showing that to Justin. I was like, man, that's really cool that they could tie that to that story. You know, the Paiutes passed that down over time. But going back to the Kuna tribe, I really hope one of them named their child Matata, because that would be awesome. Kuna Matata.
That was the Lovelock Cave. You know, that's one of the, yes, the huge, that's something, if you look into this realm of things, you hear about a lot, because you cannot go against what was found. I mean, when you find an entire, all these bodies in one single cave that all are measuring around 7 feet or more, you know, especially at a time when we're talking about 3 or 4 foot tall moon-eyed people running around. These are giants. So, and especially the red-haired part of it. Like, I've often wondered, you know, where that comes from. Because even Adam was talking about, you know, from this Mesopotamian and Egyptian area, these red-haired, you know, either really, really blonde-haired, blue-eyed giants, or these red-haired, green-eyed giants. You know, a lot of them are described as being covered in fur, which Adam believes, you know, might lead to what Bigfoot is, which I think is a cool little line of thinking. But, you know, it's traits that aren't characteristic of the people that are around them. You know, I mean, now you look at America, you look at the U.S., it's a melting pot. I mean, you have people coming from every European country, from Asia, from Africa. You know, yeah, everybody looks different because of where they come from. But during this time, when there wasn't a whole lot of this migration going on, you know, for me, that's one of those mysteries, is, you know, why these giants are described as being, or even the moon-eyed people. You know, you're looking at two different ends of the spectrum. You're looking at super pale moon-eyed little people, or you're looking at red-haired, green-eyed, covered in a lot of hair giants, you know, in the same area around these natives that are dark skin, dark hair, almond eyes. You know, it's just the contrast there is something that really piques my interest and gets me thinking, okay, where do they come from? You know, where does it all originate from?
Yeah. Well, so many Native Americans having the same types of stories and passing those down through the years, now being able to physically prove some of those stories, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. I was watching something on YouTube earlier today about that museum we were talking about down in Murphy, North Carolina. I think it'd be really cool to go see, because they have that little statue, well, the little carving out of soapstone there.
Yeah. And the carving, I mean, I could see why people would, you know, people would say, okay, well, maybe these were extraterrestrials, you know, because
it fits the bill for everything we describe extraterrestrials.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could pull it up and share the screen, but we'll just try to bring it up.
That fits the bill for, if you ask any normal person, hey, describe what you think an alien looks like, they're going to give you a description that looks very similar to that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, that leads us to, you know, when people describe a gray alien, an encounter with a gray alien today, you know, the way they describe that looks a lot like these statues that were that were made of these what is supposedly moon-eyed people. And then, you know, if you look at also a lot of Native American myth and folklore and legend, you know, they had encounters that with these star people that they would talk about all the time. A ton of their creation stories come from these star people. So if we're talking about a people that they didn't, they weren't familiar with, they described them as incredibly short, sometimes like a gray, these really large heads that were disproportionate to their body, like a gray, these really huge eyes, like a gray, these, you start getting a lot of these, well, you know, maybe. Mm. I mean, maybe they were. And, you know, we can look at the logical side of it all we want. We look at the historical evidence that says, well, yeah, this is where they could come from. But, you know, what if?
I mean, there's always the legitimate possibility that they are. I mean, it's, do I think that? No, but there's definitely not something that you can say 100% absolutely without a doubt. There's no possible way that the moon-eyed people are extraterrestrials. You can't, just simply because, especially now in the last, you know, 5 years or 3 years, how much more information is being released from a government standpoint on these unidentified, whatever they're calling them now, unidentified flying objects or whatever, and then the numerous accounts of people that are just normal. Like, of course, there's plenty of crazies out there that say they had alien experiences, but there's a ton of just normal people who have the same type of thing, same type of experiences. There's always the possibility that they were, they're still here, or whatever the case may be, right? I mean, I've said this before in this podcast, I fully believe that when we left the orbit in the 60s, that wasn't the first time that humans had ever done that. I do. That's one of my things I fully think happened. So if they were able to go, they obviously were able to come back, right? And I think it's pretty small of us to think that that isn't at least a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I think it slims that possibility down when they start speaking Welsh, though. I don't think aliens speak Welsh. They could. I don't know.
The aliens maybe. Not have visited Welsh before, and then
they, popped in their, you know what?
I was UFO and popped over back over here, and
that was going to be my next point. Maybe
in a portal or whatever.
Maybe that's how the Welsh got here before. The same aliens brought them. You know, I don't know.
Well, I think that's the cool part of this show is just looking at the possibilities that are out there. I mean, you know, just like earlier when I was saying, we've got to look at the two different lines of thought here, you know, with the way that the natives describe them, you know, you either have something that makes sense, you know, that's logical as a migration from somewhere that, you know, through breeding and interbreeding and all these different things, we have these people. But if you look at the language, I mean, that's a lot of us just speculating and saying, oh, well, these natives, they just weren't that smart. They were describing something they weren't familiar, but it's pretty plain language. Yeah. This is what they looked like. They went underground, did not come out in the day. Not like, well, they would take to shelter and sometimes they would come out, but they wouldn't stay long. They said they didn't come out in the daytime and they went underground and they built, at the time, kind of monolithic structures, you know, that weren't accustomed to the times. So, I mean, just you have to look at it. You have to look and say that that's why I said maybe they were something different, you know, something that's just not easily explainable. And,
you know, another thing with the carving is you can also look at, hold on. Well, didn't see that coming. Sorry, folks. You can also look at cave art, things like that, native cave art, carvings. We know it's a bear because it's oddly shaped like a bear, but that, I mean, that was like primitive art. I mean, it's awesome. It's, I mean, it's, somebody thought, I'll just make a copy of what I seen. And then they sat down and carved that out of wood, you know, so they could show other people, like, this is what I've seen. You know what it is? But it's rudimentary is what I'm trying to say, you know. So if they were, like, trying to carve a person, it's possible they weren't, you know, Da Vinci's and couldn't do that very well. So, but it also could be that they were aliens and that's exactly what the hell they look like and that's what the hell they carved. So I don't know. I wasn't there. That's why we need a time machine. I'm still worried about that, you know, the Earth's rotation and the movement. You know, if I put July 4, 1776, and then I shoot back to where the Earth was then, but it was way over there. Now my ass dies in the vacuum of space. That's my fear about time machines.
The only thing, if you have the ability to, time machine has the ability to move back through time, it would have the ability to make up for the movement of the Earth.
I would hope so.
The only time
that's that my Ryan, biggest fear.
The only time that Ryan is praying that there really is a flat Earth and it's stationary.
Please let those idiots be right.
Here you go again. Here you go again. Getting a group of people and calling.
I'll die on that hill. The flat earthers, Jesus Christ.
I'm going to get Dave Weiss on here.
I'll just sit like this the whole time, shaking my head.
But no, I think it's really interesting. You know, these, anytime we can talk ancient peoples, ancient civilizations, altered history, you know, anytime that we can talk something other than what the mainstream is telling us. And, you know, I love it. I enjoy it just because I love to think that the world is and always has been so much more interesting than we know of, than just the average layperson that, you know, just watches, you know, you go through public school, even if you go through university, whatever, you know, go through college and you're getting, it's, you know, a lot of it is just regurgitation. You know, it's what a lot of it is. And that's regurgitation of the mainstream and what's in the know. Now, Lance, as a teacher, you know, I know that because I know him, I know that there's certain people, again, I'm not grouping everybody together. I know there's certain people that don't fall along there and they do try to get, you know, students to think critically on things and to look deeper into certain things and not just go along with, but be your own individual and find out the truth for yourself. I know that they're out there, but as a whole, we can look and see that, you know, a lot of the problems that we have with the younger generations in the country today is because of indoctrination that comes from this, you know, what's set up. So anytime that we can get outside of that and look at, you know, and the bad thing is sometimes there's more evidence or as much evidence to the fringe side of things than what we have there in the mainstream. It's just they won. They got to stick a flag in the ground and say, look at me, I did it. And yeah, cool. That's what we'll go with.
Yeah.
But I love having these conversations.
I do too.
Lance, I don't think you're indoctrinating your kids. Just
listen, Justin, I have enough trouble just getting like kids to bring like their books to class. A book? Chromebooks. Sorry, we're using Chromebooks. Yeah. Yeah. Let alone teaching them to think critically. That's
well, that's because at this point, it's kind of been taken completely out of your hands. It's a lot of it's been taken out of the parents' hands, depending on how strict you want to be or on with the taking away of the technologies and all that. Dude, everything is driven now by social media. And, you know, that's a whole nother episode. That's a whole nother episode. Because if I start ranting on that, I won't quit.
No, he won't. What subject do you teach, Lance?
Chemistry.
chemistry. Oh, well, you can't push the stoned ape theory for me.
He's a high school chemistry teacher, just like one of my idols, Walter White.
Ask me how many times a semester I get asked.
Oh, I'm sure.
If I can make meth in class.
I actually said the other day, I can't believe that I've had Lance on the show this long and I haven't made one Heisenberg joke. Yeah. Not
I
mean, one.
How many times I get asked that a semester? It's a multitude. And right. I always follow up with, yes, I can, in fact. I have the stuff to do that, but I will get fired and you will go to jail. Just go back to your uncle's trailer that you've been cooking it anyways in.
Yeah. And you're going to get me to do it. Listen, guys, I can't go through having to kick that habit again. I'm not doing it. That's.
Yes, I can make it, but I will ultimately end up dead from a remote control machine gun in the back of a vehicle that just unloaded on me while I was selling my product. Okay.
Spoiler.
Oh man. Yep.
I'm glad that we've got to talk about my two favorite shows of all time on here today, too. Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones. That's great. That's great.
Drop spoilers on all of them.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're a bastard for that. I haven't seen Breaking Bad.
Oh. Well, just forget. Thanks. Just forget. You'll forget it in the morning. You'll forget it in the morning. Well, you're 1,500 milligrams deep. You're not going to remember any of this.
I don't think I'm all the way. It just keeps coming in waves. It's like when I had my injury, my nerves to this day still come back. And it'll feel like a spider's crawling under my skin, going up my head. It's weird. That's how these waves are coming on. It's just like
a wave of spiders.
Yeah, and just all throughout your body. And then your feet feel really heavy. My feet feel like they weigh a ton right now.
I think that's also called schizophrenia. Not the feet part, the waves of spiders part.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, nobody knows they're schizophrenic. If you're schizophrenic, you don't know you're schizophrenic. Come on, Ryan. All right, let's go around. I love this conversation. This is great. I love talking about these moon-eyed people. I love thinking about all the possibilities of where they could have come from. So let's just go around the table. And if you had to put a stamp on it, what you believe these people are, because I believe that there's enough accounts there to know that these natives were talking about somebody. It was some race of people. You know, we have that kind of evidence there. You know, you have American botanists in the early 1900s writing about it. You have people in the 1800s writing about it, 1700s writing about it. You know, the natives passing it on and on for hundreds of years. So, but if you had to put a pin in it and say, this is what I think these moon-eyed people were, what would they be? We'll start with you, Lance. Go ahead.
If I say that they're Welsh descent, then I want to take what you two say. I'm going to put a stamp on that. The moon-eyed people were actually a creation of moon dust from a meteor that flew and hit the eastern coast of the United States that then mixed in with the Fountain of Youth in St. Augustine that eventually turned them into living, breathing, power-wielding individuals that were able to create civilizations before anybody else was here.
That's yeah,
I was pinching my cheek to make sure I didn't pass out from the gummies, and I was hearing everything correctly.
No, I think they've got to be Welsh descent, some form or fashion. They've got to be Welsh descent.
I like the first answer way better.
Okay.
I think Ice Age Land Bridge got them here down well before is kind of how I think that got near the land bridge that was there. I don't have it off the top of my head. It's late where exactly where it was at, but there they crossed in and got down into the Mary. I think they were here obviously well before the other Native American tribes were. They were maybe the first ones down, whatever the case may have been. We're here, had civilization set up, settlement set up, and then that's kind of where they got, how they got here.
Well, being light-skinned Northern European, they would have been a lot closer to the land bridge than those darker-skinned natives coming from, I don't know, Northern Africa? Where were they coming from? I don't know. They had a ways to go, is what I'm trying to say. So it's, yeah. So my belief is these little Welshmen and women took off across the land bridge, and while Bigfoot was battling the short-faced bears, they snuck by undetected, blending in with the snow, got on down to the Appalachian Mountains in Cherokee, North Carolina, that area, down into Georgia, and just settled there. Or they could have just come over here with Maddox, because they were never heard from again.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And that would have been a lot faster.
Well, I think that we talked about giants. We've talked a lot about little people. We know that there were different sized people all throughout history. Maybe these, well, not maybe, this is what I'm putting a pin in. I forgot. This is no possibilities. I'm putting a pin in it. These giants and these little people and all of these different forms of creation of humankind, if you will, who were, well, I won't go down that hole, but they all came over. I'm with you guys. They came over. They either migrated, you know, across a land bridge or by ship, but they were just that. They were a form of, you look at, like, take Lord of the Rings, for instance. You have elves, you have hobbits, you have dwarves, you have all these different things. I think that's a lot closer to how it actually probably was at one time. I honestly believe that. I believe that line of thinking comes from somewhere. And I believe, just like anything else, that the human race that we are today, because we still do it, anything that's different, let's get rid of it. It's different. It's scary. We don't like it. Let's get rid of it. I think that's eventually what happened to all these people, but I believe that there's a good case that, you know, maybe there was a whole village of hobbits in Wales. I mean, where's
you shall not pass.
Gandalf led these people over. Gandalf Maddox led these people over on a ship. I mean, if you look at the Shire,
run, you fools.
If you look at the Shires and all of that stuff, where does that come from anyway? Well, there's 477,000 cities in UK with a Shire on the end of the name. I mean, that's where all this comes
from. Tolkien's imagination is where it came from, Justin. Hey, what if
it just comes from imagination?
What if the Cherokees come across those giant redheaded fellas on the West Coast? What if that was like base of operation for those giants, and that was like their nursery? Like their kids were going through school, just learning how to build forts. And then they, as they grow into adults and they're giants, they send them out to conquer new territories. That's what I would do.
If you were a Native American giant with red hair?
If I was a Welsh midget.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. You lost me a little bit there. So
I was one of the redheaded giants,
okay,
I would choose the East Coast for my breeding grounds.
Okay.
First of all, you have the protection of the mountains. You have plentiful food sources, water sources, all that. It's a great location. Second of all, when I build those forts in the mountains, I can protect the young better. And as they grow and they go through different stages of education, building forts, doing this, here's where you place the windows, here's the tools you're going to use. Then they get older, and in groups they're going to be coming, right? Just like school children, class of 2022 is coming up. Those guys will be going, all right, you're going to the Northwestern Territory, Oregon. Go settle that area.
So,
but I would also start on the East Coast and spread out towards the West Coast. I wouldn't start on the West Coast and come back. That'd be stupid.
So
spread thin, guys.
So where does the Welsh hobbits come into this?
Well, they weren't hobbits. I was saying when the Cherokees found that school or nursery, if you will.
Oh, so you're saying that the moon-eyed people were just like
the children,
baby like giants?
Okay.
Yeah, the young, and the giants weren't actually giants. They were 6'6", 6'9", you know, that's basketball players now. I mean, compared to me, that's a giant, you know. I would be the size of their kids, so.
Okay.
What I was saying, because the natives, you know, even though we depict them in our drawings and everything being shorter, they weren't shorter. I mean, they had pretty high stature, but when you're drawing your enemy and you're the one who wins in history and you write the history books, you draw those guys shorter than you.
Or you make them look like they were these monstrous people that you conquered.
You're the tough SLB that took him down.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that's that was just a thought I was having as you were talking. Damn, I figured it out. That's exactly what I would do. And now there's Bigfoots all over the world because that nursery worked until the Cherokee came along.
Wait a minute, how did Bigfoot get into this?
I'm with Adam. That's the origination of the Bigfoot. They just got hairy. They were hairy anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, we figured it out, folks.
Makes total sense to me.
We
solved every one of those mysteries. You guys didn't even know you were getting that bonus material.
It's free. It's free, guys.
Yeah.
100% free.
All right, guys. I've got nothing left in the tank.
I'm just getting started. I could talk all night. I'm excited. We're recording. I thought we were going to miss this week. I was upset. Sorry, yeah, it's late, guys.
It's been crazy. They don't know.
They won't know, right?
Yeah, we haven't dropped Lance.
Oh, that's true. I thought you meant physically being late right now. I'm fading myself. I'm not faded. I'm fading.
We've got one faded. We got one fading. And I faded out completely earlier, so. All right, guys. This is a lot of fun. Whole lot of fun. I'm glad we were able to jump on here and do this. You know, you guys are awesome, and I love you to death for making all this work all the time. I'm usually the one that's the stick and the spoke, you know, but it's almost summertime. Spring sports are winding down to an end.
Listen, these summertime rolls around. I ain't got nothing to do.
Yeah. Producer,
serious. We need to get a weekend. You know what? I'll say this after we end the show.
Yeah, we can say
this. This is total nonsense. I'm sorry I even led you guys that way.
We'll end it. Remember, guys, we hope you enjoyed this one. Be sure to follow us on our socials. Those are in the show notes. Support the show link is there if you feel led to donate to the show. Subscribe to our YouTube. Contact us. Contact us with anything. I mean, you know, if you just want to comment on the episodes that you're hearing, which some of you guys have done, be sure to rate and review. We're going to read these 5-star ratings on these episodes. but we have to get 5-star ratings for me to read the 5-star ratings. And we've been kind of stale on those for a while. So
I'm starting making a bunch of shadow accounts. And start
yeah, there you go. Up. There you go.
Please help our ego, Lance.
And more than anything, more importantly than anything, is just share the show. I don't care how you share it. Just share the show with the people around you. That's the only way that this show grows. Mine and Ryan and Lance's circle is only so big. We do have people that are downloading in, you know, places that I don't know anybody, and that's awesome. So, I mean, the show is growing, but it's because people that like you guys that are enjoying this are sharing it with the people around you. And for that, we appreciate you more than anything. This has been fun. Love you guys to death. Until next time, we'll see y'all later.
See ya.